I'm Michelle Tyrene Johnson, sitting in for Gina Kaufman, and this is KCUR Central Standard. This morning, we're going to start our food hour talking about what I call fall drink-a-drinks, the cocktails inspired by what's my favorite season of the year, autumn. Later, we're going to talk about a favorite that many of us have all year round, Italian food. So, joining us today to talk about those fall drink-a-drinks are a couple of local experts at making them. Brock Schulte, who is the bar director of the Monarch Bar. Good morning, Brock.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
And Jill Coxon, who is the owner and creative at Swordfish Tom's. Good morning, Jill.
Hi. Thanks. Happy to be here.
Oh, great. So, I'm going to start off with you, Brock. Your bar... His name is Monarch, and it's named after the monarch butterfly, right?
Correct.
And your changes involve the flight of the butterfly.
Correct, the migration. So it's kind of a really interesting creature, actually. Monarchs travel 3,000 to 5,000 miles every year, and we just thought that was a really cool way to put together a cocktail menu that allowed us to have flavors from all over the world and use spirits and things and place them on a map so people could have a visual cue towards those cocktails.
I feel like there's more monarch butterflies around than there used to be. Is that my imagination?
I think it is your imagination. I think you're just more aware of them now. They're actually a little bit less. So we also
do a
really hard push, especially in the fall, for to remind people to continue planting milkweed. And we work with Missouri for Monarchs and Powell Gardens to do a butterfly release on our terrace every year, which we just did this past August. Uh-huh. And so it helps raise money for them to create habitats and plant milkweed, which is the only thing they eat. So
okay, great. So how does that influence your upcoming flavor for your fall cocktails?
So we still do a pretty seasonal menu. We since our menu is so large, we do 60 cocktails at a time, about, with favorites and classics, and then five migrations, including a focus cocktail group. So on this new menu, we're doing focus on the sour. We did really good with the margaritas this winter, and we kind of wanted to keep that momentum going, but in a fall way. So they're all New York sour, continental sour style cocktails in the beginning. So basically a whiskey sour that is topped with either port or wine, Madeira, or has some type of wine influence to help soften the acidity and bring tannic and other fall-esque flavors to the cocktail.
Interesting, man. I'm gonna have to try that wine on top of whiskey.
Of a whiskey sour.
Uh-huh. That sounds interesting.
It's delicious.
So, Jill, KCUR's Andrea Tudhope says that you are, I might be putting this a little bit in my own words, the empress of invention when it comes to coming up with inventive cocktails. So, what concoctions do you have coming up at Swordfish Tom's?
Well, I mean, I always give away the dirty secret that the reality is there's only about 10 classic cocktails. You know, I appreciate the compliment, but I reinvent the wheel slightly, and that's all the credit I can take. We approach every menu just seasonally as well. I always say that cocktails are kind of the second thing we specialize in. We'd rather focus on the room and the hospitality and the ability of people to have a nice conversation. But when it comes to the cocktail side of things, we take it pretty seriously. And I like the idea of focusing on flavors that resonate both regionally and seasonally. So I always kind of start out with, you know, the flavors that represent fall to everybody. You know, those baking spices, the stone fruits, the herbs that you might associate with Christmas or Thanksgiving dinner. Brands that we want to support, local, as well as making sure that we have some fresh and homemade ingredients represented on the menu as well, you know, and then focusing also on sustainability and reducing waste as much as we can. So,
both of you are the most thoughtful barkeeps I've ever met. Each of you has this real interesting story behind your places that it's more than just, you know, cheers. You go in a bar, everybody knows your name. You know, you guys got, you know, ecology and sustainability going on with their places, which I mean, I've been to Swordfish Tom, and just going in there where it's all secretive where you have the whole, you know, push a bell, push a button to get in. You know, I'm like, I like the whole, you got a whole mystery and story when you walk in. You mentioned, so I've got to ask, you mentioned in passing the whole Thanksgiving cocktail, mm-hmm. which when you talked to Ann, our producer, and I was reading that, I was like, she's putting Thanksgiving dinner in a cocktail. Tell us more about that.
So sometimes you can just kind of have fun and be a little witty with your creations. And I'm going to be featuring a Thanksgiving dinner cocktail, turkey dinner, and it's going to be featuring wild turkey rye, which I thought was kind of a funny base as the backbone of the meal. Sometimes it helps on Thanksgiving, and we're dealing with family to have a little help. So this is more to help with Thanksgiving dinner, I guess. But wild turkey rye, I'm going to be making a house-made cranberry and orange reduction, so kind of reminiscent of those glazes that we all have, you know, around the table, and cranberry sauce, and then little rosemary. So all the things you might experience around the dinner. But
I like the rosemary. So the rosemary, I guess, is supposed to remind you of the dressing, because you know, where there's turkey, there's dressing, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess the rosemary is supposed to be, okay, that sounds like an interesting drink. Okay, so Brock, you got something that is equally inventive to bring us to fall?
I think one of my favorite things I'm pretty excited about is I still like, even though it's fall, I like bright flavors, but using fall ingredients. So I've been working on a sour carrot juice. So we take, juice purple carrots, so a nice bright carrot's got a lot of flavor, and then we pair it with verjus blanc, which is like a lot of people use it for salad dressing and stuff like that. It brings acidity. It's just green grape juice. And then a little bit of malic acid, and that sours out the carrots. But they're so sweet themselves already, it's almost like a sweet and sour itself. We pair that with some Greek yogurt, Tanqueray 10, and shake it all up. And you get this nice velvety mouthfeel, and bright cocktail. And to soften it a little more for the fall, we have a little bit of dill and fennel pollen on top that gives it this gorgeous smell.
My goodness. I mean, that makes the next question I'm about to ask you probably sound very pedestrian, but what suggestions would you give to people to spruce up their old standards? I mean, because their standards are, you know, like, you know, a fall hot toddy or a fall cold toddy for that matter. What would you suggest, Jill, that somebody could add to something to sort of kick it up?
Well, one, just simply switching to fresh ingredients is always just a way to kick things up a little bit. I just think that, you know, freshness is always a step up. And then just, you're researching just a little bit about, you know, what herbs might complement, you know, the thing that you're making. So if, you know, if you look up, you know, what herbs go with, you know, with lemon or orange or, you know, cranberry, you can add a nice, easy aromatic garnish that adds another dimension to the flavor profile without having to work too hard. You know, yeah, it's easy to create great things at home. They don't have to be overly complicated.
Okay, that's good to know. What about any suggestions?
I kind of look at a lot of cocktails that we do the same way Jill does. It's always based on classics. So if you're going to do something at home, like, go with something you're comfortable with. I mean, that could be something as simple as like a gin and tonic, but maybe you go with like a Spanish style gin and tonic and add some fresh star anise and cardamom and, you know, really get the fresh flavors. And a good thing, I think, for any time we use hard spices is put them in the oven at like 300 for 2 or 3 minutes until you can really start to smell them, pull them out, and then throw your liquor over them right away. And it just really blooms them and makes this just great smell. Often it makes your kitchen smell great too.
Oh, so, man. So you can get your drinky drink and have your kitchen smelling better. I like that. So that reminds me, Rock. So I remember reading about something you do called the fat wash.
Uh-huh.
What exactly is that? It was intriguing because there was, I even saying it, a fat wash as a drink ingredient.
Sure. So you can fat wash with all kinds of ingredients. A really simple one that got started about 15 years ago was fat washing with like bacon and vodka and using that for, you know, Bloody Marys or something like that. So we do all kinds of things. We actually, on this past menu, did a prosciutto washed Thai tea cocktail. So we literally blended aged prosciutto up and then strained it all out through cheesecloth and a coffee filter and get it all nice and smooth. And then you freeze that liquor and all the little fat solubles freeze themselves, and you can pull all those off in another one more strain. And it leaves you just with this beautiful, unctuous mouthfeel that, you know, really coats your tongue. And when used correctly with spice and sweet, you can really, really get some unique flavors and mouthfeels.
Y'all are just taking food as ingredients in drinks to a whole new level. I mean, I've been known to stick a slice of bacon in a Bloody Mary, but you got this whole fat wash thing going on. Do you have any unusual techniques, Jill?
The fat washing is great. I've done some bacon fat washing, and it's fun. It's a fun way to add a layer of and bacon's almost cheating, you know. I mean, everybody loves
right,
bacon, you know.
Right.
Like, this last menu, I'm getting really more into having food influence cocktails. We had a Tom Yum Soup inspired cocktail in our last menu, and so another great way to get a lot of flavors into a cocktail is making a complex syrup, you know, where you just start with your basic simple syrup of sugar and water and then just boil in whatever flavors you want. You can make it any, you know, so we had a lemongrass and Thai chili and garlic, Thai basil, boiled all those flavors in. Basically, you end up with a cocktail that tastes like Tom Yum Soup, and it's delicious.
Oh my, that sounds, wow. I mean, that's absolutely nuts. So, Brock, there's an October 15th, I think, rollout you have of your drinks. Is there like a sneak peek of something you could give us?
Yeah. Well, what's your favorite style of cocktail? What do you enjoy drinking?
I'm embarrassed to be my age and to still say that my favorite cocktail is an amaretto sour.
I think that's perfectly acceptable. So what you might not have known yet is actually our amaretto sour takes the Jeffrey Morgenthaler approach, which is he's a famous bartender and industry leader. He actually puts a little bit of whiskey in his amaretto sours, so we do the same thing. So I honestly do think that you should probably come and try one of our whiskey sours. But one that I'm super excited about has a little bit of Kent's pear and cinnamon. And so it softens it just so much like the vanilla and amaretto does and gives it nice sweet texture and flavor. I really think that you'd like that one.
Ooh, that sounds good. Oh, my God. Both of you already are on the list for KCR Happy Hours because clearly, you know, we need to figure out some more inventive cocktails than standard beers. So do you guys use beer in any of your cocktails?
We actually serve no beer or wine at Swordfish Tom's. We are specifically focused on premium spirits and cocktails. We're never limited to our menu, so we can always play the what do you like game and go dealer's choice, but we do focus specifically on spirits.
Okay. What about you, Ron?
Use Sam Smith's chocolate stout in a cocktail, but we've reduced that down into a syrup to make it a part of a cocktail to a different texture. And then one of our most popular drinks is the West Coast Migration, which uses Dogfish Head's Sequench, which is a Goza style beer. It's got black lime and stuff, black lime, coriander, and sea salt. And so we use that in with St. George green chili, a little bit of Sombra Mezcal, passion fruit honey.
Oh, man, that sounds delicious. So we have been speaking with Jill Coxon, owner of Swordfish Tom's, and Brock Schulte, bar director of the Monarch Bar. Brock, Jill, this was totally fun and cool, and this is a great Friday discussion to have on Friday the 13th. So if anybody's feeling like this is an extra spooky Friday, you know, this would be a good day to go get a drinky drink, right? When we return, we'll hear a feature about an old Italian restaurant in a new spot and talk with food critics about their suggestions about the best places in Kansas City to get down with some Italian food. More KCUR Central Standard in just a minute. Stay with us. I'm Michelle Tyrene Johnson, sitting in for Gina Kaufman, and this is KCUR Central Standard. When you think Italian food, Swordfish probably isn't the first thing that pops into your mind, but that's one of the many Italian dishes Ragazza Food and Wine serves after reopening earlier this year. Aviva Okas and Haberman visited their new location.
Laura Norris was working in community development when a picture on her bulletin board spurred a career change.
Actually, for years, I had a picture of an Italian deli on my bulletin board. So whatever job I had it on there. I was like, someday I'm going to do it. And then finally, I was just like, you know what? I'm going to do this.
She had fallen in love with the family atmosphere at Italian delis in the Bronx neighborhood her grandfather grew up in. Laura told herself she wanted to open a deli like this before she turned 45.
I just sort of felt like I wasn't getting any younger, and everybody kept on warning me about the restaurant business. And I said, oh, no, 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 it's not going to be a restaurant. It's going to be a deli. Well, it turned into a restaurant before I even opened.
In 2013, Laura opened Ragazza, a cozy Italian spot in Westport. She's the owner, and the menu is inspired by the dishes she grew up cooking with her family, like the enormous pans of eggplant parmesan she helped her mom make.
I mean, it was one of those things where my mom was known for her cooking. And, you know, unfortunately, in most Italian families, I think, recipes are not written down. So we kind of had to kind of work through making them, you know, getting them out of my mother.
These staple dishes have moved with the restaurant as they transitioned to a new space earlier this year. Ragazza Food and Wine is now on Main Street. It's in a corner brick building where a grocery store once stood. With the additional space to keep more produce fresh, Laura wanted to add a fish dish. The inspiration came when she traveled to Italy last summer.
My mom's family is from the island of Salina. And one of my favorite new dishes was definitely came out of my relationship with her and visiting the island of Salina. And we just, I mean, I ate swordfish the entire time I was there. It was so amazing. And it's so simple to do.
Laura came back from the trip with photo after photo of all the delicious sword food dishes she ate.
I worked with my chef, James Landis, and told him exactly. I showed him all the pictures of when we were on the island of Salina, and every picture of swordfish. He's like, did you eat the entire time swordfish? And I was like, yes, I did. You know, and so we kind of came up with how we wanted it.
Laura says it didn't take long for her and her chef, James Landis, to figure out the recipe. In a cramped kitchen area before dinner, James shows me how he makes this summery dish. He throws the swordfish on the grill and starts a sauce. White wine and lemon, reduced down with peppercorn, bay leaf, and shallots. And of course, he adds the capers.
Pretty much a traditional lemon beurre blanc in the French style with capers in it.
Next, James starts sautéing the greens, kale, spinach, and arugula. Once they're slightly wilted, he adds parmesan. And now the swordfish is finished cooking. James says the trick is keeping the dish light.
Swordfish can be a very dense fish. And when it does get cooked all the way through, it can be just a very dry fish. So I think it's really light and summery the way we prepare it.
Laura says, well, she didn't end up with the deli she originally envisioned. The place has the same family atmosphere she wanted.
Most of our feedback about our Italian food is more they like the casualness of it, and it reminds them of more family meals. And so that makes me really happy because that was the goal.
That was KCUR's Aviva Okeson-Haberman talking about Ragazza. And now to join us to talk more about Italian food, I have three critics who are ready to get down with some pasta and some cannoli and whatever comes up on your mind. So we've got Mary Block. Hello, Mary.
Good morning.
How you doing? Liz Cook.
Hey, Michelle. How's it going?
Great. What a great last name. I just thought about that. Liz Cook.
I themed it just for you.
My road buddy, Carlton Logan. How you doing, Carlton?
Hello, Michelle.
So, we just heard a feature about ragazzas, and coincidentally, each of you, without knowing that we were having this feature, separately mentioned ragazza on your list of recommended restaurants. So, what makes them a standout?
Well, I agree with Laura. It is a family. It feels, I mean, you could go with or without your family, but it's that kind of food. I love starting with the giant meatball. You can share it with the whole table. There's great red sauce, and they've got focaccia to mop it up with. The pastas are hearty. You can split those up. And it's just a nice, comfortable atmosphere.
I personally like it. Liz has done theater reviews, and I'm also a playwright, and some of my actor buddies work there also. So it's a win-win for me when I go to Ragazza's. I get good food and I get to see good friends.
It really does feel like kind of a theater bar. <It does. laughs> Now, I was there recently and had Sean Ruffin, who is this local diva, right, who I absolutely love as my server. So she was great at that, as she was in all things.
Exactly.
But the new space really kind of, so the old one in Westport was much more compact and intimate, and it felt kind of like home. And I think the new one feels like a house party. It's much livelier. It's much bigger. You'll see all of these theater people milling around with a drink in a hand. And I think their food is great. So not just pasta. Like, we always talk about pasta when we talk about Italian food. But they've got a lot of really great entrees on, like, the secondi side. So they have a braised lamb shank with a mushroom risotto that I think is phenomenal.
Yeah. What about you, Carlton? You had it on the list also.
That is correct. And I agree with the whole family feel thing. My first recent visit, I actually sat at the bar. I met Laura and also some of her friends. And so we had conversations, and someone said I looked like the musician Kenny Kirkland, and there was a lot of buzz going on. And, but mainly I enjoyed, and Mary and I enjoyed the same bucatini noodles. And they have the bucatini noodle in the Amatriana dish, which is wonderful.
Okay, you're going to have, you know, for those of us who did not take Italian,
yes,
what exactly is that?
So the bucatini noodle is like a spaghetti noodle, but it's much bigger. So think spaghetti noodle with a larger size.
And it's hollow.
And it is hollow, yes,
okay, definitely. So it kind of soaks up the sauce like a little straw.
Exactly, yeah.
It's so like a penne noodle, but only longer?
And a little thinner. And
a fat thinner spaghetti noodle, yeah, with a hole down the middle.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Looks like a straw.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay.
And typically it is made with a red sauce with pork jowl, but you can also use pancetta, which Ragazza does. And it's just a wonderful, and it has the chili peppers in it. So it's got a wonderful spice to it, and the chewiness of the meat. It's just a great dish.
You said pork jowls?
Yes.
I did not realize that, you know, pork jowls would be coming up when we were talking about Italian food. We know we're trying to kind of go old school with pork jowls now, but okay, mm-hmm, that's another show.
That's another show.
That's another show. So, you know, I don't know if you can separate the what from the where, but I know when I'm craving Italian food, I usually go real basic with it. I just want, like, some spaghetti and meatballs. For each of you, I'll start with you, Liz. What's your favorite, like, basic craving for Italian food?
Oh, gosh. So I love, like, a classic, like, old school red sauce Italian joint. We've got, like, a lot of, like, new restaurants in town that are doing more of the modern Italian fine dining, right, side of things. But, like, nothing can beat, like, a plate, a giant Italian-American sized bowl of pasta with red sauce and, like, an iceberg lettuce salad.
I kind of the same way. Exactly.
So I love, there are a lot of old school restaurants I love. One of them is Anthony's on Grand.
Oh,
and it's,
yeah,
just got this, it's like an insect trapped in amber. It's got, right, this, like, real old school vibe, like oxblood walls, these big chunky framed Renaissance paintings, free bread as much as you want.
And they have great catfish.
They have, yeah, great catfish. My favorite thing, honestly, like, this is a good way to prank a date if you ever come here. They have this appetizer called Jazz, and it's just a bowl of olive oil full of minced garlic that you will be tasting 3 days later, and Parmesan cheese and Italian seasoning, and it is so simple, but it's also great.
Yes, that is, but you're right, that would not be a good date dish to order.
Well, a good way to weed it out, because I need someone that can handle that.
Right. Or if it's a bad date, then there you go.
You got a built-in excuse.
There you go. All right. Mary, what's your favorite sort of basic craving Italian food, and where would you go get it?
Okay. Well, I like Carlton. I like the Amatriciana and a bolognese. Both are great classic sauces. The one I gravitate toward for a simple casual meal is Bella Napoli in Brookside. And it's a neighborhood gem. It's been there for almost 20 years. It's one of our go-to places. We can walk there. You can sit outside. They've got great pizza. But they also do a really nice Amatriciana with, theirs is rigatoni. And it is made with pancetta, also like Ragazza's, as opposed to the more traditional guanciale. But it is just very hearty and satisfying.
All right, Carlton?
I do like a good red sauce. Pizza is a good one for me. And I think it's because, you know, growing up here in America and getting traditional American pizza, it's a different thing when you go to Italy. And I remember kind of the shock value of, you know, ordering a pizza in Italy, and it wasn't as thick and it didn't have as many toppings. And I was like, this is wonderful. So pizza is one that I really look forward to. And Bella Napoli has a good pizza as well. Cupini's has a good pizza as well.
So you like the thin sliced Neapolitan style?
Yes, okay. Yes.
And see, I guess I always have tended to think of the traditional, I mean, not traditional. I mean, I've never been to Italy, but what I think of is probably authentic pizza is the thick crust, but that's not the case, huh? Mm-mm. Mm-mm. It's amazing.
Just a little puffy. It's got a little bit of chew to it, mm-hmm. but it holds together. Light toppings.
Because most of these ovens in Naples, like, they heat these things up into like 800, 900 degrees, and they need that pizza to cook in about 30 seconds. Right. So you've got that thin crust that kind of crisps up and gets a little charred element on the bottom, and that's the classic pie.
Well, see, and you guys are reminding me that pizza is Italian, because I tend to have sort of the Midwestern American mindset that pizza is this sort of separate category of cuisine and food. And pizza is Italian food.
It's Italian.
Yeah. So for those listening, what would you recommend when you're craving Italian food? Where do you go? Call in at 816-235-2888 and tell us your favorite spots for pizza, pasta, spadini, whatever floats your boat that's Italian, from the mom and pop to the fancier digs. You can also tweet us at KCURCST with your recommendations. So, since Italian food isn't like burgers or chicken, where there are options in every corner of the community, where are your favorite places to go for a simple but delicious meal? I'll start with you on this, Carlton.
Oh, favorite. Tresemare is probably at the top of my list.
And that's up north in Briarcliff.
Yes, yeah. Yes. It's more American-Italian, but the food is always good. Great pizzas. The shrimp Diablo is good. I like the environment there. It's a nice roomy space. There's several. You can sit by the fireplace. You can sit in the bar. You can sit in the dining room. It's just one of my favorite places in terms of all-around experience.
Okay. Mary?
You know, that's a tough question, because I go to places for individual dishes, and there are a lot of great Italian dishes at not strictly Italian restaurants.
Okay.
But if I was picking just an Italian restaurant, I think I would go with Farina, which is Michael Smith's new place, and he has a lot of options other than just pasta. But he has a Four Kings of Rome menu, which is a menu of strictly classic pastas, like the Matriciana, the Bolognese, a couple of others. And then he has seasonal pastas, like a squid ink, linguine, mushroom pastas. It changes up, lemon and crab. But right now, it's a good time with summer still here, not ready to be on its last gasp yet. Go for their heirloom tomato salad. I mean, that is with mozzarella, buffalo mozzarella, that's a classic Italian dish. Theirs right now has some peaches, basil, and pomegranate dressing.
Oh my God, that sounds delicious. Me and the first segment wants me to go out for happy hour. This makes me want to have Italian for lunch and dinner, and lunch and dinner tomorrow. Liz, what about you? Is there a favorite sort of you know, you mentioned Anthony, but is there another place that has a similar sort of, you know, you're going to get a good basic?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of great, like, classic Italian-American joints. And another one of my favorites is Garozzo's. And they have that famous chicken spadini. It's one of the things they're known for the most, which is the skewered chicken dish that's coated in breadcrumbs and grilled. And it's always delicious.
Oh, I'm going to ask you guys about that later.
Oh, okay. But the other thing I really like that they do there is they have some great, like, chilled iceberg lettuce salads that are kind of like dredged in Parmigiano Reggiano and kind of glazed with the classic tart bright vinaigrette. And I will defend the iceberg salad. I know it gets a bad rap, but there is a definite pleasure there.
Especially in an Italian restaurant.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, Oh, Lord, we see we're not going to have controversy on Friday the 13th. I'm going to take a call. Alex? Oops. Alex?
Yeah, I'm here.
There you go. So could you tell us, what's your favorite Italian recommendation?
Well, I'd want to give a good commentary on Joe Vito's Italian Cafe. They're located in South Kansas City. And they do a lot of great specials during the week. They're known for those meatball grinders that you used to get at Mario's down in Westport, and they've continued that tradition on. But they also have some great Caesar salad. It's always a hit before. But the one dish I wanted to call about was their eggplant parmesan.
Okay.
They do it in medallion. They cut it width-wise as opposed to length with a steak cut. And they just top it. It's very light, bread it just ever so lightly, and stovetop fry it with a little mozzarella and sauce on top over a bed of angel hair. So it's just always a great dish, usually Thursday throughout the weekend they do. And just something I always look forward to. So I just wanted to share that with everyone.
Great. Thank you, Alex.
Recommend it.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Alex brings up an old place that was my high school favorite, Mario's. Those grinders at Mario's, I thought were the most delicious things in the world. And it just, you know, a world without a Mario's grinder.
Oh, you can still get the Mario's grinder. So
where?
In the old Mario's location. So one of his longtime employees, Shelia Shields, reopened as Shelia's grinders in the Mario's location, but she kept the same recipe. So you can still get your big toasted hoagie stuffed to the brim.
Y'all, I might just leave in the middle of the show and let y'all carry on because that brings back memories. We're about to take a break, and there is still time to call with your recommendations. It's 816-235-2888 or tweet us at KCURCST. There's still a lot of pasta plus, and you're right, there are Italian dishes besides pasta. I just happen to like pasta, to discuss, so please don't go away. I'm Michelle Tyrene Johnson in for Gina Kaufman, and this is KCUR Central Standard, and we're discussing Italian food today and old and new places to get it. With me in the studio are Mary Block, Liz Cook, and Carlton Logan. We also want to hear from you at 816-235-2888. In fact, I'm going to take this call right now. Ron?
Yes.
Hey, so you had a couple of recommendations.
Yeah, so I was saying, I think one of the classic great Italian restaurants in the city is Garozzo. They're on 5th and Harrison, the original restaurant. I think it's not, you know, probably not fine dining, but it's, you know, not a hole in the wall. So I think it just, and I like, you know, their classic lasagna. I mean, that's just like a classic Italian eatery. And you were talking about those sort of classic pizza places in the city. I'm a big fan of Minsky's. I think it's just a classic American pizza. They have a great sauce. It's sweet. Their crust is great. In terms of the toppings that you want, they just have really unique pizzas that are very unique to Kansas City.
All right. Well, thank you, Ron. Those are great recommendations. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right. You know, that reminds me of, I don't know if any of you guys would have gone there. There was a pizza place in Indian Springs, of all places, that had this really thin pizza that was so delicious. And I always had to beg my grandmother to let me stop and get a slice when we were leaving Indian Springs. And so that's good to know that thin is authentic. Mm-hmm. That's good to know.
It is.
So people tend to associate Italian restaurants with love and romance. I mean, usually when you're watching a movie or a TV show and there's romance going on in a restaurant, it is usually not at a Chinese buffet. Even though I personally find a Chinese buffet romantic because it's delicious. But but Liz, didn't you write something about that?
Oh, about romantic Italian joints?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. No, I think most of our classic Italian-American places are really geared for romance. I mean, you've got, Dean Martin crooning Volare over the speakers, right? I mean, I think one of the restaurants that does that really well is V's Italiana Restaurante in Independence. So they've actually got plaques set up in the booths that have the names of all of the couples that have gotten engaged there.
Aww.
And there's so many of them that have kind of started their relationships there. So, yeah, I think, that kind of design around Italian food with like the vineyards on the arbor. It's like very much a romantic vibe.
I mean, not to mention that low light. I mean, you know, there's nothing, I mean, that's romance right there, that nobody can see all your, you know, wrinkles and scars and stuff when, you know, they're trying to propose to you, right?
Oh, yeah. It might have something to do with all of the cheap Chianti, too.
Exactly. that, too. So, Mary, I normally go to Novel for their pork chops, mm-hmm. but on the list of recommendations, you mentioned Ryan's lamb sausage pasta.
Yes.
That sounds intriguing. What's that?
It's outstanding. Ryan always has several pastas on the menu. And it's hard for me to go there and not get one of them. Right now, he has a lamb sausage pasta with a gnocchietti, which is just baby gnocchis is the best way to look at it, with sheep's milk cheese, summer squash, pistachio, and fava bean tapenade. And I just love the lamb sausage in there. It has such a strong in a good way, flavor that really just sets it apart from most other pastas you're going to enjoy.
Oh, wow. So Carlton, Liz, are there other places in town that have unique pasta dishes?
Oh, yeah. So one of my favorites is the Antler Room. And it's not an Italian restaurant by any stretch of the imagination, but they do some really creative pastas that bring in, that like work in the palates of other cultures and cuisines. So something they have on the menu right now that I really love, they have Georgian soup dumplings, which are these pasta dumplings filled with a really rich chili vinegar-laced pork and beef broth. So if you've never had soup dumplings before, what you got to do is you got to nibble a tiny little hole in the bottom. And you got to slurp out the broth in there. And then you can kind of proceed as if you're eating like a ravioli or something
like
that. Nice. But they are fantastic.
They also have a burrata tortellini right now. And it's got pistachio pesto and pecorino. And I mean, who can resist pasta with luscious, rich burrata coming right out of it?
Oh, man, that sounds great. Carlton, are there any unusual pasta dishes that you've seen?
I don't order it a lot, but I think it's one that we should at least discuss. I think most people, when they think about pasta, they think about spaghetti noodles, or they think about linguine or fettuccine, and they forget about things like gnocchi.
I love gnocchi.
Yeah, or ravioli, you know. They may think about the old raviolis we used to eat in a can.
Yeah, no.
You know, but there are some great places that have ravioli with some very interesting filling, shrimp, or just a pesto sauce. And I think sometimes we need to think about those as well as just the basic, what we're used to as Americans. Yeah. There's a lot of authentic Italian out there that we don't sometimes touch upon.
That reminds me, I haven't been there in forever, but I used to go a lot when I worked nearby, Lydia's.
Mm-hmm.
And I could never force myself to get anything on the menu other than that pasta
trio.
The pasta trio. Mm-hmm. I mean, which is worse than a buffet because they keep bringing it to you. Mm-hmm. You know?
But they've got a lot of non-pasta dishes that are great. And it's such a gorgeous space in the Freight House District. Their grilled octopus, I can't resist getting whenever I go. They have they've changed chefs after so many years, but that one's still on, slightly different, but with crispy potatoes and broccoli rabe and olives. But if you can't get to Italy and you want a bistecca, like a true Florentine steak, their ribeye is just outstanding.
Wow.
And I think they've got the best Caesar salad in town.
Oh, man.
Gauntlet has been thrown.
Yes,
I know.
Definitely.
Now, I was about to say, I'm going to have to try that out now,
yeah.
Mary, to see, along with going to every other restaurant in town and trying their Caesar salad. You know, only because I had a bite of someone else's Osso Buco, is that how you pronounce it? Mm-hmm. At Lydia's, do I know that something besides their pasta is delicious, you know? But again, when I go, I just can't force myself to order anything else. I'm going to take this call. Judith?
Yes.
Hey, I see you had a recommendation.
I do. I can't believe anybody hasn't mentioned Jasper's on 103rd between State Line and Warnell.
We did.
Very old school.
We haven't talked about it, but it is on their list, isn't it? A couple of you put Jasper's down. Yeah. So what's special about Jasper's to you, Judith?
Well, it's a place where my family's always gone for special occasions, but you don't have to have a special occasion. And JJ, the chef, Jasper, he does make a tableside mozzarella that is pretty incredible to watch, when, especially in the summer when fresh tomatoes, you know, are in season.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
It's kind of a big display kind of a thing. It's really fun to watch and make fresh mozzarella right by the table. I love their pizza and their linguine with clams is outstanding.
Great. Oh, man. Well, thank you. We're going to add that to the list that's going to come out a little bit later in the day. Thank you. Liz, you mentioned earlier Grosso Spadini.
Yes.
Now, first of all, the three of you might know this. Is Spadini a Kansas City thing pretty much?
Well, I think Garozzo's would like us to believe that they were the inventors of it. So they've been coming out pretty strongly saying, like, it started here. So I think we can kind of lay claim to it.
Well, I'm from St. Louis, so I'd have to disagree with that. they brought it over from across the state.
St. Louis is always trying to claim something. Well, whatever. I'm going to need some evidence on this.
They've got their toasted raviolis, right? Can't you let us have
them? I'm going to need some evidence on this, Mary.
Well,
but okay.
They've got the Italian section of receipts. St. Louis on the Hill. For years, I couldn't really eat Italian here because it just didn't compare to what I could get in St. Louis.
Okay. So are there other places in town that have really outstanding? I mean, Carlton and I had some good Spadini when we did our road trip for my last stint.
Il Centro has a really nice Spadini.
They do.
And with all Spadini, I mean, you've got to like garlic, and you probably, if you're on a date, you both should have Spadini.
Right.
That's a mutually assured distraction.
Yes, exactly.
I know. Right. So, Carlton, you had mentioned the shrimp Diablo at Tres Omare. And, you know, I don't think that people oftentimes think of seafood and Italian. Can you guys recommend some other Italian seafood dishes around town?
Oh, yeah. So Farina, for example, they have a raw bar, and that's one of my favorite places to sit there because it faces the street through those big plate glass windows. You can watch people go by. Someone's shucking oysters right next to you. They have a bunch of different fresh oysters. But they also have a really great cold, creamy clam dip that has just these like bright pops of salmon roe and jagged crackers to dip it up with. And it's just really nice to sit there and sip a beer and poke through your clam dip while you watch the world go by.
Clam dip, that sounds great.
Carmen's Cafe, which is similar to Grosso's, has a wonderful spicy seafood pasta. So you can get octopus, scallops, clams, mussels, shrimp in a spicy red sauce. And it's humongous. You can have it left over for lunch the next day.
That's in Brookside, right?
It is.
I have passed that a million billion times and have always meant to go there. Now I know what to order when I go there.
Exactly. And you should also order the artichoke.
Artichoke, okay.
Stuffed artichoke.
Oh, is that an appetizer?
It is an appetizer, yes.
Oh, man. You guys are going to make my life hard the next week because I've got to try all this stuff. So each of you provided a really, like, incredible list of recommendations. Is there – I'm going to start with you, Carlton. Before I start with you, Carlton, Corey called to say that Cafe Barona and Independence is awesome for lasagna. So, Corey, thank you for that recommendation. So, Carlton, is there something on the list that you provided that we haven't talked about today that you think is particularly worth mentioning?
We kind of touched upon the grinder. I don't know if everyone knows what a grinder is.
Unfortunately, I do. But why don't you explain it to the world who doesn't know?
So a grinder is when you take a loaf of Italian bread, cut, if you really want a hearty sandwich, you cut the loaf in half. And you hollow it out, and then you stuff it with meatballs or sausage. So it's like a you know, sometimes you're eating a sandwich, and because the bread is cut in half, kind of falls apart. It doesn't fall apart like that because the meat is stuffed into the bread. And it's just...
It's so good.
Delicious.
Yes. It's very efficient. It's a very efficient meal.
Yeah.
You don't have to eat something and then find bread. It's just all together in one big yummy thing in your hand. So,
sure.
Yes. All right, Mary?
I would say you need to go to Fox and Pearl and have Von Good's porchetta. Porchetta is basically a pork roast, and it's wrapped in pork belly, and I find that it's usually really fatty, and it's supposed to be, but I like to have some, you know, real meat in there too. And Vaughn's is just outstanding. You get it's the right proportion. When I had it, it was served with a turnip mash. And right now, because it's still summer, he has it with peaches and onions and a mint ginger salsa.
Oh.
So definitely, and he's got a hearth where it's cooked right there. You can watch it being made.
I mean, you had me at fatty, but the more you started talking, I was like, wow, if that does not sound delicious. Before I get to you, Liz, real quick, I want to get this one call. Barbara, you have a new place you want to recommend?
There is a new Italian restaurant in Belton called La Nana, and it is just incredible. You would not expect something that tastes this good in Belton, of all places, but it rivals any Italian restaurant in the metro area, and the prices are very reasonable. It's not a fancy place, but it's run by a couple, and he does all the cooking, and it's all his grandmother's recipes, and his wife is always up front. And it is just incredible. And having mentioned it, I'll probably never get in again.
Well, let me just say this, Barbara. I just witnessed, because of what you just said, something I have never seen when I've had to guest host a food show. Three food critics all pick up their pen and write something down. So just know you may have, kept yourself from being able to get in to eat again. So thank you so much for that.
They deserve it. It's really, really good food.
I think I see a road trip to Belton in my future.
Oh, yeah. We're going to blame you for making us drive there.
All right. Thanks, Barbara.
Thanks.
Okay. Liz, what was your thing that we have not gotten around to that you'd love to recommend?
Yeah. So if you want to get real weird with it, and I usually do.
All right. I know you're a weird bird, so go along.
Oh, yeah. I say go to plate. So this is not where you go for a big bowl of spaghetti and meatballs. This is where you go if you want something really out there, something modern and new and a different flavor profile than you're used to. So Chef Brian Mail there has a few pastas that I really like. And one of my favorites is called The Bone in the Hair. It's got this kind of cutesy name.
Oh, Lord.
I know. It's worth it, though, if you can stomach ordering it that way. It's these flowery, house-made cappellacci, which are kind of like dumplings because we're all about the filled pastas today.
Oh, yeah.
And it's stuffed with a rabbit ragu, swimming in this bone marrow broth with warming spices, and it's got like shaved black truffle on top and a little dot of carrot top pesto. It's such an interesting combination of textures and flavors, and if you're willing to take a risk and try something new, I think it's a great dish.
I'm laughing because the producer for the show is, I'm looking at her in the booth, shaking her head, going, no.
Yeah, no before you go. If that sounds good to you, you'll like it.
You got to know going into it.
And plate is more northern Italian. We've been talking a lot about the southern.
Right.
Italian red sauce type of thing.
So what's real quick, what's the difference?
Well, as I said, the southern Italian is more mama's red sauce, and the northern Italian, you'd have the scallopini, you'd have some of the more unique pastas like Liz was talking about.
And it really coincides with like a class shift in Italian-American dining. Yeah. So we didn't really see Northern Italian cuisine coming in this country until like the 80s or the 90s. Mm. And until then, Italian cuisine was kind of trapped in this idea that it needed to be cheap and plentiful. And so starting around the 80s, we see like this regional shift where we're bringing in new dishes. And then Italian cuisine kind of becomes more in the fine dining realm. So now we're seeing a little bit more of an interplay between those.
Well, it's funny how our sense of what's Italian has changed with each passing decade. It's what you just said, becomes more sophisticated. I mean, I remember having a job interview where I was the person interviewing, and the person ended up becoming literally my best friend. But the question we asked her in the interview was, red sauce or white sauce? And it's funny because her answer was white sauce, and we were all red sauce people. And it's like, I guess we need some sauce diversity in the office. So
is this a personality test for you?
It was a personality test. And as I've now known her 18, 19 years, she's
a white sauce.
She was just being contrary. So this has been such a fun show. Real quick, I mean, we don't have a lot of time, but what's your favorite non-Italian place to get Italian food? Just one place.
Non-Italian.
to get Italian food at a non-Italian restaurant?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to go with the Antler Room again.
Antler Room? Yeah. Mary?
I was going to say that, too, but I would also say Novel, since okay. Liz already said
Novel.
Antler Room.
Carlton, real quick, one name.
I'm perplexed.
All right. That's the name of a new restaurant. I'm perplexed.
Yes.
Our time is up. Mary Block, Liz Cook, and Carlton Logan, thanks so much. Mary blogs about food at Around the Block. Liz is a food writer for The Pitch, and Carlton is a writer for KCFoodGuys.com and co-administrator of Kansas City Eats. This show is produced by Ann Kniggendorf. Melody Rowell, Aviva Okeson Haberman, and Sylvia Maria Gross is our senior producer. Linda Scheer runs the board for us, and our theme music is by Spoonbender Labs. I knew I was going to mess up something. I'm Michelle Tyrene Johnson. This has been great. I'm super hungry. Everybody have a great weekend.
Enjoy your lunches.